It's on page Nun Tes. Again, it's Simin Tes. Sif Katan Yud Beis. Stam Tzemer He'amur Batoira Uvapoiskim Hut Tzemer Rechelim Ve'elim. Whenever it says that the word tzemer in the Torah, it refers to one of two types of wool. The wool that comes from sheep. I think that's what we call wool today. But there's another wool which qualifies rechelim, an ayil, a ram, which is an adult. And I mean, an adult sheep. So really it's the same thing. Tzemer rechelim, I'm sorry, an ayil is a ram, which is an adult sheep. Okay, so that is what I assume the texture is a little bit different. If it's a baby and an adult, that is what it comes from. Gzuntai, it comes from the sheep family. Now, what happens if you have a talis? We discussed this in the past briefly. The talis hashesi hu shel tzemer, v'ho erev hu shel tzemer gefen. Tzemer gefen is not to be confused with wool. Tzemer gefen means cotton. So it appears, Gzuntai, that it used to be, the Gitzchel, by the way, was written in Hungary. Okay, he lived in Hungary. And it appears that in his country, there's the warp and the woof, right? The warp and the woof. I always forget which is the Shasi and which is the Erev. I can never remember. Shasi, and I don't know which the loom, the vertical and the horizontal. For right now, we just have two parts. Every garment, we have the vertical threads and the horizontal threads. They're woven together. Everyone knows the picture of the loom. You go up and down, the even and the odds, and you set up the loom by putting all the threads one direction, and then you alternate and you throw the buchia with the wool going in the other direction. There are vertical threads and there are horizontal threads. So it appears that where he lived in Hungary, it was not so uncommon to have the vertical threads were made from one type of material, and the horizontal threads were made from a different type of material. The ideal halachic beged is where both the vertical and the horizontal, I'm just interchanging those words for the shasi, the erif, the woof and the warp, but the vertical and the horizontal threads are made from both wool, both made from wool. But what happens if one is made from wool and the other is made from a different material, like katin, which he says was pretty common, and what's the question is, when it comes to tzitzis, what type of tzitzis do you put on this type of garment? Now this is more problematic, seemingly, than a garment that's 100% cotton. Because a garment that's 100% cotton, you can make tzitzis that are 100% cotton, which we don't have today. No, you can't even buy in the store cotton tzitzis. You can buy in the store cotton, it's very common. Probably many people here are wearing cotton, a beged, a shell, a talis cotton made from cotton. But if it's made from cotton, then you can put on the beged tzitzis that are made from cotton, because there are, if you can use for the tzitzis the same material you use for the beged. But if you have a beged that one part of the beged is made from cotton and part is made from wool, so then the question is, what type of tzitzis should you use? Should you use cotton tzitzis or should you use wool tzitzis? Using cotton tzitzis l'chor is no good, because the cotton tzitzis is not going to pater the part of the beged that's wool. And wool is also not ideal, because even though wool generally covers all types of garments, not everyone agrees that wool covers even material that's not made from wool. So he points out that it's a problem. That's basically what he points out. We don't really have this issue because we don't have these type of talisos. Not a taliskad, not a taliskadl. All of our garments are either wool or they're cotton. Stamp. If you have a garment and the shasi, one of the threads, is made from wool, the ha'erev and the other type of thread, who shall tzemer gefen, cotton, or vice versa, or meshi, or silk, uchadoime, or lehepuch, she ha'erev who shall tzemer, the hashasi hu mimin acher. So what do you do in this situation? So he says, don't make a bracha on this talis. Yorei shamayim lo yivorich al talis kezeh, mishum, deyesh oimrim, degam tzitzis shel tzemer. There is an opinion which holds that tzitzis made from wool, einon poitrim rak beged shuhu miminoi. Wool tzitzis only exempt a beged that is made from wool. But a beggar that's made from part wool, part cotton, tzitzis will not exempt. Now, I want to clarify a few things. Number one, this case is unique in that the vertical threads are made from one material and the horizontal threads are made from another material. If you have a beggar, which I don't really know how clothing are manufactured, especially cloth, where there are different sections of the garment. So you have a beggar that's for the first 3 feet are made from, whatever, are made from wool, and the next section is made from cotton, and the next section is made from wool, and the next section is made from polyester, whatever it is, then you go bust a roif. If you have a garment, some designer garment that has four corners, right? A designer talus that has four corners, and the different sections of the talus, maybe it's made in some fancy design, they're trying to depict some biblical image, and they have different materials being used to design the garment. So what's that? And let's say the majority of the garment is wool, and there are certain pockets, section of the garments, which is made from cotton, polyester, as long as it's not linen, of course, shouldn't be shatnez, then you go baser roif. If the majority of the garment is wool, this is called a wool garment, and you put on ideally the best thing to do is to put on the garment wool tzitzis. If the majority of this garment is cotton, it would be ideal, which you can't do anyway today, to wear cotton tzitzis. If you have a garment that different materials, the majority is what determines the status of the garment. The reason why this case is unique is because the material itself, there are vertical threads and there are horizontal threads. In that situation, you don't follow the majority because one without the other is nothing. It's like a davar hamaimid. It is what each type of thread is what keeps the garment coherent, keeps the garment together. And if you're missing one type of thread, then the entire garment will fall apart. So here we don't follow that rule of rov, and you need to put on ideally the same type of tzitz as the garment itself. But in this situation where you don't have that, you can't determine what is the igur. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says it's a no-win situation. You should not make a bracha. Because even if you were to put on the ideal wool tzitzis, according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, wool tzitzis does not exempt cotton garment. Now that has a major, that should right away ring bells in your head, because that would mean the natural conclusion of this Kitzur is that if you have a cotton talus katan, which many of us do, and you have wool tzitzis, which is what we all have. That's all we only have today. So according to the Kitz Shulchan Aruch, you should not make a bracha, because there is an opinion that says that wool tzitzis only exempts a garment of wool. Wool tzitzis does not exempt a garment of cotton. So we're in a lot of trouble, according to the Kitzur. And indeed we are. That's why we need the Mishnah Brura to come to the rescue. The Mishnah Brura is lenient and says that we paskin like the opinion that wool tzitzis exempts any type of garment, even if it's not the same as the tzitzis. And that is what we are all samech on today. The vast majority of Klal Yisrael, I do not think, wear wool garments. The vast majority of Klal Yisrael wears cotton talus katan, and they wear wool tzitzis, and according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you should not be making a bracha, which is not so bad, because many people don't make a bracha. Adults who wear a talus gadol anyway don't make a bracha on their talus katan. So it's not, I'm going to come to another point, to clarify another point in a moment. So anyway, it's not so terrible. But there is another problem, though, that you do have a garment of four corners, and you don't have the proper tzitzis. So, okay, let me take a step back. There are two issues. Issue number one, if you have a garment that has four corners and you don't have tzitzis, you're doing an avera. The Torah says, I have a garment that has four corners, you must put on the garment tzitzis. If you don't put on tzitzis on a garment of four corners, you are violating a mitzvah saseh. That is issue number one. Issue number two, if you have a garment and you have tzitzis that are not proper for this garment, and you make a bracha, it's a bracha levatola, you motzi shem shamayim levatola. Now let me ask you, from the two problems, which one is worse? The second is far, far worse. It's much, much worse to say Hashem's name levatola, to make a bracha levatola, on a garment that has tzitzis which are not proper for this garment than it is to wear a garment without tzitzis. Someone gives you a choice. You have to do an avera. I'm giving you to do one of two averas. Either wear a garment that has four corners without tzitzis, or make a bracha levatala. Which avera is worse? A bracha levatala is much, much worse. Okay, let's put that aside. Now let's go to another issue. We have over here a garment of cotton and tzitzis of wool. They're two different types of material. Do wool tzitzis exempt a garment of cotton? There are two opinions, two schools of thought. One school of thought is yes. Wool is the ultimate. Wool is a catch-all. Wool tzitzis exempts any type of garment, even linen. Shatnes, deichashanes, technically, nigradin. Then there's another opinion that says, no way, no such thing. Wool only exempts a garment of wool, and maybe linen also, but wool does not exempt a garment of silk. Wool tzitzis does not exempt a garment of cotton. Wool does not exempt a garment of polyester. And certainly wool, we have a mixture of polyester and cotton, and I don't know how all the industry, for how all the different materials come together, wool will not exempt. So here you got a problem. According to that school of thought that says that wool does not exempt a garment that's not wool, so if you put on that garment, you're violating two averos. Number one, you're wearing a garment of four corners that do not have kosher tzitzis. Number two, you're reciting a bracha levatala. So here comes the answer. The ikar hadin, everyone, even the kids of Shulchan Aruch, as we'll see in a moment, holds that we paskin, like the man to Omar, the opinion in the Gemara, that wool tzitzis exempts every single type of garment, whether it's cotton, silk. And therefore, lichatchila, without any hesitation, you can put on your body today, you can go to the store, and buy a cotton talis katan, and wear tzitzis of wool. And you're doing nothing wrong. You're not being Michal Shabbos wearing this in the street, and you're not violating the mitzvah of wearing a garment of four corners without tzitzis. We accept the opinion that wool exempts any garment 100%. But we take into consideration a little bit the opinion that says that wool does not exempt cotton and silk with regard to the severity of making a bracha levatala. Okay, that's the issue. So therefore, let's say today many of us, okay, many people today wear a talis katan made from cotton. They don't want to wear wool because wool irritates. It's a little bit heavy. It's sweat. People who sweat. And some people just find it a little irritating. It's a little bit too thick, whatever it is, so on and so forth. So they only want to buy cotton. So that's fine. So they're wearing a garment of cotton, and they're wearing tzitzis of wool. So that's fine. Now, according to everyone, we rely 100% on the man de Omar that wool tzitzis exempts a garment of cotton, but you still should not make a baracha on
it. What's the point of wearing the garment?
Because you want to be in the kind of mitzvah of tzitzis. You want the entire day.
Baracha, are you in the kind of mitzvah?
Yes, absolutely. Baracha is not ma'akev the mitzvah. There's doing the mitzvah, and ideally, you're doing a mitzvah deraisa. When you're putting yourself in a situation where you now have upon you a garment of four corners, and you have a mitzvah, so the entire day you are being occupied in doing a mitzvah. I'm wearing a garment of four corners with tzitzis, but don't make a bracha. Because as far as making the bracha is concerned, we take into consideration the opinion that wool does not exempt cotton. So for most people, that you should not be in violation of wearing a garment of four corners without kosher tzitzis. If wool tzitzis are not the proper tzitzis for a cotton garment, you're in violation of wearing a garment, you're doing an avera the entire day.
If we're not talking about tzitzis, then why is that an issue?
You know, because the Torah says if you have on you a garment of four corners, and you don't have on those four corners kosher tzitzis, you're doing an avera. That's not avera. Avera, you are being violating a mitzvah saseh.
Why is wool and cotton an issue?
Because it's all based on drashas and the Gemara. The drash of the Gemara is that wool, according to one opinion, wool tzitzis is only kosher for a wool garment. But wool tzitzis is not kosher for a cotton garment. So as far, if you have a cotton garment, you have wool tzitzis, as far as we're concerned, there are no, you're not wearing tzitzis. There are no tzitzis.
Do they make them these days like that?
No, they don't. They, what, cotton tzitzis? No. They don't make, as far as I know, they don't make.
I've never seen a cotton garment with woolen tzitzis.
Of course, so they all have. Everything's like that. If you go today into Eichler's and you buy, every single tzitzis, all of the tzitzis that you will find today in the whole world, but buying, it's only cotton, only wool tzitzis.
And the garment itself is made of cotton?
Yes, most garments, they are cotton garments. So the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch is telling us, don't make a bracha. We can wear it, and you mekayim the mitzvah. You mekayim the mitzvah 100%, and you should do it. But as far as the severity of making a bracha, don't make a bracha.
So everybody makes a bracha. I don't understand.
Oh, let me clarify. First of all, let me explain to you. First of all, it's not true. Most people are married, and most people who are married follow the Mishnah Berurah. Do not make a bracha on the Talis Gadol.
On the Talis Gadol?
Yeah.
You gestured towards the Talis Gadol.
Most Talis Gadols are wool. Probably 90%. I don't really know the exact number. Come on, every Talis Gadol today in our community is wool. They are cheap. They do make Talisos, you know, for people that are not fully observing. They don't want to spend it. It's expensive. Talis, say, cost $80, $70 to $250. They have different types of talis. You can't get a good talis for less than $70. And the high end go for a good $150. A real high end talis. So not everyone could afford this. Not everyone could afford to go spend $70 on a talis. And then not everyone's interested in spending. So they have a talis and come to service. You know, people come to sew. You can buy a talis that's not wool. You can buy it for $30, for $20. You can buy a not wool talis, and no one's going to know the difference. Okay, there are, but generally speaking, most people today in our community, Baruch Hashem, they have a talis gadol that's made from wool. The talis is wool. The tzitzis are wool. So when they make the bracha l'sa'atefa tzitz, they're making the proper bracha. Everything is fine and good. And the talis gadol, they anyway don't make a bracha. Right? Most people who are married today do not make a bracha al mitzvah tzitzis. Once you get married, you only make a bracha l'sa'atefa tzitzis, so you have no problem here with this tzitzis shulchan aruch. But what about children? And what about people who are not married? So then you should know that today is a very big trend among B'nai Torah. They only wear a talis katan that's wool. It's expensive. You know, talis katan, wool talis katan costs today $25, at least $25. A wool talis katan. So then you're also being mekayim this kitzur shulchan aruch. If you're not wearing a talis katan and you make the brach al mitzvah tzitzis, so you're wearing, you when you're an adult, and you're wearing a wool talis katan, so you got no problem with this kitzur shulchan aruch. What about children? Probably most children do not wear a wool talis katan. So they're only children. So it's chinuch. It's chinuch, so it's no big deal, so they don't follow the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. But you don't need to command that, because the Mishnah Berurah disagrees with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah says, just like we follow 100% the halacha, that wool is the proper tzitzis for a wool tzitzis, the proper tzitzis for a wool garment. It's also for a cotton that you can wear it. For a bracha, it's the same thing. We rely fully on the opinion that wool tzitzis is 100% valid for a cotton garment, even to make a bracha. Not like the chumrah of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so we have here a very interesting chumrah Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's not really a problem for most people anyway, because most people are married and most people are wearing wool talis gadol, and that's the only bracha they make anyway. For the few people that are making a bracha on a talis katan, so then in a chanami there's a hiddur of wearing a wool talis katan. But even if you're not wearing wool talis katan, you don't have to worry, because the Mishnah Berurah comes to your rescue. But even the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that says you should not make a bracha on wool tzitzis put on a cotton garment agrees that you can wear it. and you should wear it. And there's nothing wrong with wearing it. It's just for the extra chumrah of saying Hashem's name on a bracha, that far you should not go.
Is that why the Yekis and the Sfarim wear a talis and garment?
I don't think so. I don't think it's because of this. I think the question is the other way around. Why don't the Ashkenazim wear the talis? You really should wear a talis gadol when you daven. They're really right. And the Ashkenazim are the ones that have to defend themselves. So why is it our custom not to wear a talis until you get married? So you'll say maybe they couldn't afford it, they didn't have it. You have all these different theories. So why it's so? There's a smichs in the pasuk of gedilim tazilcha next to the parsha of ki yikach ish isha getting married. I don't know. It's in halacha. It's a difficulty. The Mepharshim apologize and they struggle for the minig Ashkenaz not to wear a talis gadol until you get married, especially today's time where the average person does not get married until they're in their mid-20s. Okay, the average person today, I don't think gets married until they're 22, Ashkenazim. They don't get married until at least 22, 23, right? I mean, that's the Metzius. So time, you won't say until 18 years old. So anyway, between Bar Oinshin until you're 20, 18, time of the Gemara. But today, there's a trend of getting married much later.
There are men that do stop wearing the talis when they're 18 or 20, aren't
there? Are there? I'm not aware of. I know by the Yekis, they wear bar mitzvah.
Even before
bar mitzvah, correct. That's right, even before bar mitzvah.
But the Sfardim also.
Before bar mitzvah. The we are on the defense. In this matter, the question is, why don't we do it? Why do we wait until we get married? Yeah, okay, this is a topic in of itself. Okay, but there's we have all of this lumdus here in this halach, so it's a fascinating lumdus.
I see them tend to wear wool cotton.
Was a cotton? I mean, I don't know if it's because of this. It's because their whole lifestyle is different.
They wear a top of the shirt.
They all seem to wear wool.
They live in Alaska. They wear
okay. I don't know if it's. I think it's more of a matter of dress, pace, and the dress. Well, al pi halacha, it's more correct. I mean, according to the kids of Shulchan Aruch, you can't. But a child.
Well, if you can go by Shulchan Aruch, that's the way you got to do it.
Kids Shulchan Aruch. And Achanami, according to the Mishnah Berurah, disagrees. The Mishnah Berurah says there's no such thing. The Mishnah Berurah says there's no such thing as that you can make the bracha, and make the bracha, wool sits on a cotton garment is perfectly fine to make the bracha. There's no problem whatsoever.
It's obvious conflict. I mean, there's a reason.
Yeah, because ideally, even the Mishnah Berurah agrees that ideally wool and wool is the best. Of course, wool and wool is the best. But to go so far and say that you can't make a bracha of wool and cotton, that's a very big chumrah of the Kitz Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah, if there is a chumrah, obviously, even according to the Mishnah Berurah, it's a hider to wear wool and wool. I'm sure the Chafetz Chaim wore a wool talis katana. I can't imagine that. Even though Yishnai once read an article that many they analyzed, I don't know how they know, but various gedolim, no, they wore a katan talis katana. They were not makbid on this. The people are not so makbid on wearing a wool talis katana. You wear the wool, but to go to the degree you can't make a bracha on a talis katana that has wool tzitzis on a cotton garment, that's a pretty serious chumrah of the case of Shulchan Aruch, which the Mishnah Berurah does not hold of. And again, for many people, it's not nogeya because anyone don't make a bracha on the talis katan. But wearing, everyone agrees you can wear, because there we do rely upon the opinion that wool tzitzis is good for a cotton garment. Okay, let's finish up the words. The ksus laila, sheets and blankets are meant for sleeping, and anything that's meant for the night time, even if it has four corners, every blanket doesn't matter. Even though you go to sleep during the day, generally the way the world operates, most people sleep at night. Most. I know there are people who have night shifts, they work at night. Some people, I know someone has a friend, he's a PA. Night shift. He loves it. Wouldn't give it up for anything. He works the night shift in the emergency room for years. Night shift, he will never take a day shift.
We should not have talit katan.
But I have another guy, he works the night shift in Atzal, volunteer. I don't know, he works the whole day, and he has a night shift every night. He works from 11 to 3. He answers the phones in Atzal. So when does he sleep? He works. He works very hard. What? Yeah. It's not so simple. You know, you're right. It's a problem. You are 100%. Someone once normally they're not large enough. It has to be
It has to be
24. If it's 18 inches wide, yeah, it's already a problem. If the scarves you unfold, and if they're very wide, it's a problem. Yeah, it is. The wide scarves which you unfold, if they're more than 18 inches, can be a problem if you wear it over your shoulders. I don't know the answer. I don't have a clear answer, but I do. I remember it was once in Yeshiva in Or Yitzchak. I was walking with someone, and he told me that they told him that I don't know who's they, that he can't wear a scarf because he had one of these scarves which unfolds like this big, and they told him that there's a shayla that they have to put on tzitzis. So he was telling me that I can't. That they told me I can't wear this scarf here because the shy left sits.
You can't cut one of the
scarves. Maybe 10 to 12 inches at most. You know, just this.
10 to 12.
It's very long.
Wide. Yeah, but wide? How wide is it?
Not more.
You cut one of the corners.
But he's already wearing it. So why does he have to wear another pair?
He's already wearing
it. No, the beged, the garment. The garment is a garment which has four corners. It gets complicated. A lot of these fancy scarves have these fringes which hang out, and those fringes make it complicated. Is it really four corners? Not four corners. We had that. That's why we learned in the Mishnah Berurah that you have to be very careful. On the towel, you see this has the fringes, right? These nice, these fringes are a nightmare for tzitzis. That's why the fringes stop before you get to the last corner. See, if these things would continue all the way down to the end, you have a very big shiloh. Where is the proper location to put the hole? Where should you insert the hole of the tzitzis? Because do we consider this stuff which hangs out part of the garment, or is it not part of the garment? There are different opinions. That's why you have to cut it off, make sure it does not go into the area, into the section that it comes to the very last corner of the garment. Okay, but we have a scarf, so a lot of the scarves, they have nice things at the end, these things which come out, the fancy scarves. But you're right, if the scarf, they have these very thin scarves, which is meant to fold, they fold them in. When you look at it, it looks like it's 12 inches. That's because it's been folded over multiple times. But when you open it up, it's more than 18 inches. It's a problem. Is it a problem? Some say yes, some it's not. Since you fold it over and you only wear it around your garment, the way you wear it is by folding it over around your neck, only around your neck, not on your body, and you're folding it over, it's not necessarily a problem. I don't have a clear answer. I don't know the halacha.
The scarf, you can't cut one of the corners of maybe it like
this. If you cut one of the corners off, that's the solution. If you cut one of the corners, then it's kosher. So you take the scarf, you cut the corner, that would probably be the solution. The kapotas, fracks. They purposely.
One of them is rounded.
They make because it's a why? Because there's a slit. Being that the slit on the kapata, the kapata is sewn on. That was one of the first locks that we learned in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. That you have a garment, a vest, and then the bottom of the vest is cut, a slit. So the really you have four corners. There are no sleeves, but being that most of it is stitched. The majority of the length is stitched. It's exempt from tzitzis. But when a significant part of the garment is not stitched, like a kapata, because the kapata goes all the way down to the ground, and it could very well be that the majority of the garment, the frack, is slit, and you have four corners, it's chayiv in tzitz. Therefore, they manufacture them by having one corner on the inside circular. So it will be the same thing when it comes to the scarf. Okay, let's finish this halacha. Let's read this halacha. V'chein talis, right in the middle. Okay, we have over here yud beis. V'chein talis shel meshi. V'yatzitz hein. If you have a talis made from silk, v'yatzitz hein tzemer, and the tzitzis are wool. Lo yivorei chalav. It's incredible what he says here. This is an incredible chumra. You should not make a bracha if the tzitzis are wool and the garment is cotton or is silk. Ella, what is the solution? Yivorech tichila al talis shel tzemer v'yisatef bo v'achar kach. Afterwards, your siro, you shall remove it. V'yisatef bezeh. So a person, let's say, he comes to shul and he has a cheap $20, $15 talis that's made from silk with wool tzitzis. According to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he should not make a brach on his own talis. He shall make a brach on someone else's talis. He should give it to him for the few moments. And half kavod, that bracha should go for this as well. And then make that one bracha. Ach, im atzitzis heim shel meshi, yecholim levarech ala. But he says that ideally, even according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, if the tzitzis is the same material as the garment, a cotton garment with cotton tzitzis, a silk garment with silk tzitzis, yechol levarich alav. And he writes over here, v'loy shchichi b'medina seinu. He's writing in Hungary. And Hungary, it's not shchich to have tzitzis that are made from silk, shalmeshi, d'chot tzitzis b'inan tviyah l'shma. And I saw in the article, he brings down that in Hungary, all of the tzitzis were manufactured in Japan. In Japan and...
In those days?
Yeah, that's what he says. In 1890, that's what it says in the Mishnah. I don't know how they know. Mishnah Berurah has a much interesting historical note of when... it's relatively brand new. It's incredible safe. It's incredible. They have Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in English. Article published, I think, 35 volumes. The entire Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in English with incredible notes. A lot from Rabbi Igros Moshe. A lot of Mishnah Berurah, cross-reference Mishnah Berurah. And in the back, they have these charts and shiurim and supplements. It's an incredible piece of work, and people appreciate what they've done. And so they have an historical note of that over here. He lived in Hungary, and where they got this from. And in his day, that's what he means over here, that it's not shach. I don't know. I've never seen. Maybe it does exist such a thing that there are tzitzis today made from silk and cotton. I don't know. I've never seen such a thing, and they have to be made l'shma. You know, you make tzitzis not so similar to the Eretz Yisrael. They have mamish factories where they manufacture tzitzis, and it's a process. And everything has to be done properly. Okay, the imnigza tzitzis shel meshi. Now this is the biggest nightmare. If you have, okay, but before we go further, this is a very important point. All he says, the kitzur shulchan aruch is, don't make the bracha. But after you make the bracha on a talis gadol, you can put it on. Because even the kitzur shulchan aruch agrees that the ikur is like the opinion that says, wool tzitzis is okay for a cotton garment. It's only for the extra chumrah of a bracha. Only with regard to a bracha, don't make the bracha. But after the bracha has been made on something else, 100% go right ahead, wear it. Because we paskin, like the Mandi Yomar, wool is good for cotton. The Mishnah Berurah says, even for a bracha, it's okay. Then he just goes on to say that this is the biggest nightmare. Don't ever do this. Don't ever take your tzitzis, you have four tzitzis, two are cotton, and two are silk. The mixas tzitzis shel meshi mixasan shel tzemer gora tfei ve'ein lasos kein. Because man of shach, the tzitzis should be consistent in the tzitzis. I'm not exactly sure the makar. He brings in the makar of the year 48 in the bottom, Mogen Avram. Where it comes from in the Gemara and the Mefarshim, that's already too inconsistent that the tzitzis themselves should be made from different material. Okay, so this is a very important halacha. Very kedai to spend some time on it. We went a little bit slower than I thought I wanted. I thought we'd be able to Yud Gimel, we go through a little different halachas. So the next halacha will be, if one of them gets cut, what are the rules? One, two, three, how much? Four thumbs, two thumbs, a machlokes between the Mishnah Berurah and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So a Mishnah that we'll do tomorrow. We'll stop here, we'll take a break.